Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The joy of accomplishing a race. Can anyone relate to that? Maybe a long, long time ago, but maybe it was just a few years ago. But the joy of crossing that finish line. I want you to think about that for a moment. I like to run, but I certainly wouldn't call myself an expert runner. But in talking to some people who are really good at running and coaches, they have told me that there comes a time in for more competitive racers, runners, that in a race, it's a short period of time, but there is an uptick in the fear and crisis sense in the heart of the runner. It could be the surrounding circumstances. It could be a whole bunch of reasons for why that. Just that fear and trepidation of what comes ahead. It could be a whole bunch of things. It could be that you're just at that point where you're running out of oxygen and you just don't think you can go much further. I can relate to that. Boy, we did the turkey trot, Claire and I. Do you remember the turkey trot? November? Yeah? Do you remember what happened? We agreed to do the turkey trot together. I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to set the pace for Claire. It was a 5K. It was her first time running a 5K, fourth grader. And I thought, hey, you know, Dad's going to set the speed here, and then I'm kind of going to, you know, turn on the jets at about 3K and finish really wonderfully. We got to the 3K mark, and that's when the fear and trepidation hit in. And for me in that moment, I was exhausted. I turned to Claire and said, Claire, I think you're doing great. You just go ahead. And she finished way ahead of me. It could be, for a runner, it could be looking out and seeing a hill up ahead, and that fear just overwhelms. It could be another runner passes you by and you kind of lose confidence. But when that runner becomes overwhelmed with fear and crisis, their performance falters. Doesn't stay with them. They kind of falter and they lose that pace. However, there's another outcome that can come. In that brief moment of trepidation and of fear, if the runner sticks with it, isn't overwhelmed, remains steadfast, and lets that little brief period pass, they can get a little spurt and momentum and really finish strong in the race that they're running. I give this picture of running because I think that's what Paul has in mind here, or as I believe that's what Jesus has in mind in this letter to the Christians in Smyrna. He compares their journey of their faith kind of like a race. They're running in a sense, and they're right in that moment of crisis. They're right in that moment where crisis is right around the corner. So he's writing this letter. Now, what's interesting in this verse is that it says that the length of time, did you catch how long this trial and the crisis is going to hit them? Did you hear that? How many days? 10 days, it says in the text. Now, this is a plug for Dave Letting's Bible study class. Please attend it. He'll explain that some of the numerology of Revelation. My take on this, on 10 days, is this. It's not a literal number here that it's talking about, but 10 days means, and this is important, 10 days means that it's a duration. In other words, it's not going to last forever. Hold on to that thought. Any crisis, any suffering, any difficulty, we tend to think it's going to last forever. This little text is saying it's not going to last forever. There's a duration. Now, what is the crisis with these Christians in Smyrna? Why is this letter being written? There was tremendous pressure on these Christians to conform to the culture around them. That's the issue. Here in this city, there were close ties to Rome. In fact, there was what was believed the first temple to the goddess of Rome was built here in Smyrna. And this was a location where significant sacrifices took place. In fact, emperor worship happened in this location. Emperor worship for Christians in the first century was a really big deal, and some of you may know this. It was not voluntary. It was like taxes. It was mandatory. You had to be a good citizen of Rome. You had to worship the emperor, and this is what the way it was done. You would head to the temple. There was a temple here to the goddess of Rome. You would take a little pinch of incense and you would go up to the altar. You'd let go of the incense and you would say with your lips these words. Does anyone know? Caesar is Lord. And when you said those words, you see, then you got a certificate saying you were a member and good citizen of Rome. And if you got that certificate, then guess what? You could go to the library, you could go to the gymnasium, you could go to all the great places in Smyrna. Do you see the pressure that was put on these Christians? Tremendous. The text also reveals there was pressure by the Jews, even in this town. Jews had a higher standing than Christians in the first century. The thought amongst the Jews, one thought, is that they believed the Christians were cannibals. Because when they celebrated the Lord's Supper, they were eating the body and blood of a person. They were persecuted and put to death. I can imagine some of the Smyrna Christians saying something like this, you know what, let's just give in, just do the sacrifice, and you know what, let's just pull back from the Lord's Supper, not that big of a deal, let's cave and just be like everybody else. That is not the encouragement of Jesus here in this text. Do you think, now let's bring it to the modern day in the 21st century, how many of you think there's kind of a tension between being a Christian and living in the culture that we're living? Do you feel that? Some of our youth, do you feel that? Being a Christian and then living in the culture, we're Christians, we have beliefs, but then we live in a culture, we live in the United States, we also live in Oregon, we live in Philomath, we live in Corvallis. There's culture. We go to schools and there's culture there. Richard Niebuhr wrote a really good book quite a ways back that says that there's three responses that we can make in light of this tension. Every week you may go one way and then the next week you might go in a different way. But think about these three tensions. One is, one response to this tension of being a Christian, and then there's a culture that's really strong. One response is to cave and just give in.